This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring former FBI special agent and chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, Robin Dreek.
A cover-up doesn't also always mean either they're covering up a cop or somebody, or somebody that's connected to government that was involved in Odinism. I think that that is what we think about quite often when we're talking about like conspiracy theory. But a cover-up could just simply be, shit, we should have gone down that road, but we didn't. Let's make it look like we did, or something. And I feel like it's more of a cover-up for just lackadaisical behavior, lackadaisical investigative work than it is, I don't know, anything else. But we'll find out more.
And I think you're right on that. No, what generally happens, and this is nature of human beings, and that is when we are so insecure about our actions, our beliefs, our thoughts and opinions, we tend to try to share white lies. We try to obscure it. In other words, when our insecurities flare up, we don't own our behavior. When something goes amiss and awry, the things that we're looking for from people that do a little misstep that builds trust, and we've said it numerous times, is we're looking for open, honest communication, transparency, and vulnerability. What that looks like when law enforcement does this, or an investigation does this, is, as Jocko Willink and Leif Babin say in Extreme Ownership, is you own it. You say, listen, you're right. Boo-boo here, fix it like this. Mm-hmm. Yes, all right, good point out. We did this, and we fix it like this. And so when you take a corrective action and someone's showing some transparency for their awareness of, hey, no one's perfect, because no one's looking for perfection. They're looking for that kind of transparency, that openness, so that you can keep moving forward. But when you keep cascading lack of transparency, lack of openness on top of all the previous behaviors, that's what erodes that trust. And this is what they keep doing.
Yeah, without a doubt. Let's talk about this key thing that everyone is talking about, the interviews, like 70 plus hours of interviews that were just lost because their DVR system was messed up in 2017. The chief investigator of Carroll County, prosecutor Steve Mullen, testified that the video recordings of key interviews conducted in the early days of 2017 inadvertently erased. It doesn't look as suspicious because it's not like just certain interviews were gone. It was like a week of content just gone. I shouldn't say content, a week of evidence gone. So I'm used to doing this content because that's what I look at everything as. Do you think it was something simple? In reality, yeah, it's a high profile case, but you know, it doesn't make every single decision that one makes, that they're thinking of it in that context of there's a lot of people that are going to be on this, or if they're just not, you know, knowledgeable on how to program the DVR, things like this can happen. Do you think this was just a true accident that somebody, you know, they're just not tech savvy, something happened here? Or was there a purpose to getting rid of all of this tape and all of this audio and all these interviews? I don't see any reason why that would benefit anybody in this.
It almost doesn't matter, does it?
No.
Because regardless, it's showing a lack of ability to really do a good job.
Yeah.
Whether by intent or by mistake, it's still showing they're not doing their job properly, which erodes that trust. And so either way, the result is, you know, Alan's getting he's getting the only microscope is on him. Mm-hmm. Because everyone else just vaporized. I mean, whether they were legitimate other suspects or theories out there on these, you know, children or not, we don't know. And we'll never know, because either by intent or mistake, it was all gone.
Yeah.
You know, and so no one can even refute it or take a look at it to say, so if Alan gets off or he's convicted, no one can go back and say, hey, there's these other theories out there. It's dumb for me.
And how tone deaf of a statement is it to make that the prosecution is making and saying, look, yeah, we lost all this, but there was nothing to it. Oh, well, who did you all talk to? Oh, we didn't have a list of that either. So how can you How can you say there's nothing to it if you don't even know who you talked to? I mean, it's not up to you
whether to say there's nothing to it.
No,
you know, it's like a lot of people need to look at that.
It's baffling to me, like a statement like that would even be made, that one would put that out there into the ether and then think, oh, everybody will accept that. If I say it's nothing, it's nothing. Like that's then believe Richard Allen when he says, I wasn't there, I didn't do anything. Or he even said I was there.
So play that statement forward. So yeah. There's nothing there, there's nothing to that. Allen gets acquitted, and now you have the families of two girls that were murdered saying, yep. Well, what was that? It was someone else.
Yeah.
So, and it's now gone. So now do you have lawsuits that can be filed against them for losing potential suspects if Allen's acquitted? I mean, I don't know, because I don't know the legal system that well, but it certainly looked like some massive backlash in that kind of case.
And that's kind of what I wonder if a lot of this comes down to it. I mean, we're talking about a very small environment here. We're talking about the prosecutor's office in Delphi. We're talking about a fairly small police force. We're talking about, you know, just a very small ecosystem that works within itself. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, if they knew that they essentially had clerical screw-ups along the way where the DVR didn't work right, they didn't question this person, they didn't look at this or that, and at the end of the day, like, shit, we could have like a really big lawsuit on our hands, so we better go after somebody. I'm wondering how much of this is an attempt to save face and not get sued. And they thought, well, we can just kind of push this along and nobody raises an eyebrow to it. Obviously, everybody's raised an eyebrow to it. You know, we'll get through. Like, this was just a really bad plan all along of let's not get sued. Let's just go down this road and hopefully nobody catches us. But along the way, it just, it's like everybody's catching you. You're like bleeding out as you move.
It definitely, unfortunately, looks like, you know, again, conjecture from our optics, that they are praying that they find him guilty, regardless of whether he's guilty or not, because they are hosed if he's not. I mean, think about it. They are really setting themselves up for massive issues if he's acquitted.
Well, they're hosed either way, I think, because even if
then the appeals process is
I joke, like, he has, like, it's the Monopoly card, like get out of jail free or like get a new trial free at least card. And if you have a different judge next time, there's so many things that could be looked at very differently that could go very much against Delphi. It'll take more time, but, you know, anything is possible there. And I think they're just kind of bracing for impact. It's a matter of when the impact actually hits Delphi, though.
Yeah, totally agree.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.